Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
We're speaking about altars this morning. So I even looked up, I thought I want to sound really smart this morning. So I even went to like Strong's Concordance and I looked up altar and I was like, this is going to be so deep, so profound. And the Hebrew word for altar in this passage is mizbeach. It almost sounds Klingon, right? Mizbeach. And I was like, okay, lay it on me, Strong. What you got? And guess what it means? Altar. I was like, well, thanks, Strong. That really helps me out. I'm going to sound real smart now. So then I went to the next best thing, which was Webster's Dictionary. And this was the definition of altar. A usually raised structure or place on which sacrifices are offered or incense is burned in worship, often used figuratively to describe a thing given great or undue precedence or value, especially at the cost of something else. And it can be a table on which Eucharistic elements are consecrated or which serves as a center of worship or ritual. That's why we call this the altar up here. So if you have your Bible or your device, you can turn with me to Genesis 12. And while you're finding that, I'm just going to give some context. So we're talking about Abraham. So Abraham has been told by God to leave his country and his father's house, and he's headed towards Egypt. He's not exactly sure where he's going. He's just being obedient. And God said, don't worry, I'll show you where to stop and where to make camp. And God has given him a promise. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families on the earth will be blessed. Well, that's pretty huge. So Abraham and his entourage set out on this journey. So we're going to pick it up in verse 7, Genesis 12, 7. And then the Lord appeared to Abraham. Now, I'm just going to pump the brakes there. Sometimes we gloss over some of these scriptures, right? Yeah, the Lord appeared to Abraham, blah, blah, blah. But I actually tripped over that when I was reading it this week. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Now, do you actually believe what the Bible says? It says, God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So if God can appear to Abraham, God can appear to us. He hasn't changed. So you could say, well, Vaughn, why? Well, I don't really see God appearing to me. You know, I'm not like in the shower and all of a sudden God appears and then he's talking to me. But maybe we need to make more room for God to appear to us. Just a thought. That's a freebie. So back to scripture. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. When he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the side. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Okay. So again, this is pretty profound. God appeared to Abraham, and he's speaking to him. Abraham had his destiny and his future laid out by God to him. This was a significant moment. Would you agree? This would be a significant moment. You know, Mo, you're in your little music room playing some guitar, and all of a sudden, God appears. He's like, Mo, I want you to give all your guitars to Vaughn. Thus saith the Lord. I don't think God would say that. It's like, the cost is too great, God. The cost is too great. I can't do it. He still hasn't told me how many guitars he has. I've asked him so many times. But a significant experience. So experiencing such a significant event, what does Abraham do? He builds an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. So if you're taking notes and you want your gold star, my first point is build an altar where you have experienced the Lord. Build an altar where you have experienced the Lord. I believe this is something that we've kind of lost in our faith walk these days. Now, some of you might be like, well, that sounds weird. Do you expect me to actually like go into my garden or something and build an altar out of stones and do it? I don't know, maybe, if God tells you to. For me, it's more of a metaphorical altar. Altars I actually keep in my spirit. And these mark a significant event in your life. Maybe you call it a milestone or a marker. But these help to remember that experience. I think it helps in the significance of that memory or time. I know for me, I can hear songs from like 20-some years ago, and it's almost like I'm transported in time. I can just hear the song, and I feel like I'm back in that. I've said that before. If I listen to it all, it's a Pearl Jam 10, that album. It has such a tone and such a quality about it. It's like I'm transported back to 1992, sitting in my friend's living room, and that's playing on the stereo, and I can smell the smells and feel the feels and all that stuff, and it's crazy. Well, we can do this as well in our spiritual life by building altars. And I would actually say we need to do this in our spiritual life. So I'd ask you, like, where do you know God best? In worship? In prayer? In reading the Word? This has been super helpful to me. Because obviously, as you guys know, we're worshipers. We love to lead worship. So even this morning on my way here, I'm driving, listening to some worship, and it's just like it takes me to where I feel like I know God best. And it's different things for different people. Or maybe for you, it's your conversion, where you've met God, you had a profound encounter with Him. Or maybe it's baptism. I've been to a couple baptism services here. It's amazing. Maybe it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the first time you've experienced that in a profound way, or a healing, or a time where you felt the Spirit comforting when you needed His peace. Maybe it's the first time you've experienced His presence in a tangible way. I just think of like a few weeks ago when we were praying for the youth, where they went to History Maker and they had a profound, tangible experience with the Holy Spirit. That, youth, young people, if you're here, build an altar in your life there. Don't forget that. So I'm going to give you a few examples of my own life. A couple of different moments in time. And the first one happened right here. So I thought this was cool. Right here. 23 years ago. So as we know, the pastor's son of the pastor that supremely messed up. And from my perspective, obviously my world got dramatically flipped over. And personally, as a 17-year-old going through this, I was like, man, I'm getting it from every direction. I'm getting it at home. I'm getting it at church. I'm getting it from myself. I'm getting it from what the heck. And, man, I was at a point where I'm just like, well, I really honestly don't know what to do. I'm beyond myself. I feel like garbage. I feel like I've been through the meat grinder. I was actually working at a meat department in Superstore at the time. And I was honestly connecting with the hamburger that was going in the chipper and getting stirred out, because I'm like, that's how I feel. And so Sean Morton, who is the youth pastor at the time, was here, and it was youth, and he was just having this kind of a service. And he's like, hey guys, I just feel like we need to just have a time of just praying, and I'm just going to play. If you want to pray, pray. So I'm like, well, I definitely need to pray. And so I came up here, first one. So I'm like, I need something. So I come to the front, and I'm coming and I'm saying, God, I got nothing. I got nothing left. And the presence of the Holy Spirit just fell on me. And I literally felt two arms wrap around me and hug me. And he said, son, I got you. I got you. And that was the only time in my experience where honestly I felt, when you hear people talk about feeling drunk in the Holy Spirit, I got such a dousing where I could barely stagger back to the pew, and I started laughing. I got this injection of joy and peace, and I was like, okay, you got me. I'm good. So right here is an altar of Vaughn, and I've kept that altar for 23 years. And like I was saying, if some of you know my mother, it was years after Lisa and I had just got married in our first year of marriage. My mom got diagnosed with stomach cancer and given a very, very short window. And it was bugging me. And it was really bugging me. And we went up to, they were in High Prairie at the time, and we went up to High Prairie, and I was so jacked up. I'm like, I'm going to go pray for her. I'm going to walk in there full of faith. I'm going to pray for her, and she's going to get healed. She's going to jump out of the bed, and then we're going to like skip down the hallway, and it's going to be fantastic. And so I went in, prayed up. I prayed for her. She was doing not well at all. She had gotten pneumonia, so she was having a hard time breathing. It was pretty awful. And in one moment of clarity, she squeezed my hand because she recognized that I was praying for her. And she never got healed. She died that weekend. And honestly, I went away and I was like, okay, what the heck, God? I honestly felt that I was supposed to go pray for her. Why was she not healed? And I said, I had all these scriptures about healing. She had all these scriptures. She was praying over herself about healing. I don't understand it. And then clear as a bell, the Lord said to me, you had to go pray for her so you didn't spend the rest of your life wondering about what if. And I was like, fair enough. You're not going to tell me the reason why she wasn't healed? That's not my place to know that. But I know that you were with me through that time. Last story, not quite as so emotional or heavy. Last year, I was on a team that went to Cambodia. And we were having, it was an awesome time of ministry. We were going in, rounding into the second week. Pastor Dan said, Vaughn, I really feel like there's more for God wants to do through you, spirit-wise, in this next little bout of ministry. And I said, okay. Because I'd just be coming out of a somewhat dark place, personally. So I was like throwing myself into this. And so we went to this Stung Treng province. We pulled up. We had just finished breakfast. We pulled up. There's this worship band going on. It was so cool. all the houses are elevated, right, in case of flooding. And so it's like this giant car park, and they have this youth band playing, and they're worshiping. And I'm like, hey, this is cool. Everyone kind of notices, oh, all these white people are coming all of a sudden. And then, so I'm just kind of in the back row. Sure, thank you. I think I'd know to bring my own, right? Back row, and I'm do what I normally do. I just kind of like scan, see what's going on, and all of a sudden I'm just like hone in on this one young woman who is just worshiping. She's just giving her, and I'm like, whoa, okay. And then all of a sudden I just start getting this word for her. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, Kate, well, what do I do with this? I don't speak Khmer. She doesn't speak English. How is this going to work? So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit on this God, but obviously you want me to share this with her, so we'll figure it out. So then we kind of break into youth, stay down there. Pastors, leaders go upstairs into this house for a session. We start doing a session. I'm kind of like third in. It's my time. Some guys gave their testimonies. I just look at the team and I say, I'm going off script. And they're like, okay. So I get up, I pull the translator over, said, I have a word for my sister here. She's like, okay. He's a good translator. So I was like, phew. So I start giving her this word that God impressed on my heart. That God sees you. God loves you. He loves your heart of worship. He's just so, and she just starts crying. I'm like, okay, he's translating it properly. This must be the right word. So she's just like, she's just crying, and I give her this word. And then I'm like, okay. And they were talking about this morning. I was like, this is my step out moment. So I just pray, Holy Spirit. I snap my finger, and she just dropped like a sack of bricks, just under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the whole room went, oh! I was like, hey, man, I'm Pentecostal, man. I just keep going. I keep praying. I'm like, okay, open up to this thing. And everyone's like, dude. Guys on our team had never seen that before. The one guy was like, dude, I thought you like hit her in the stomach or something. I was like, no. Holy Spirit hit her in the stomach. So it was just this awesome time. And that set the tone for like the whole rest of our ministry time there. People were so expectant because they saw a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so at the end, then we started praying for everybody. We're like, we just feel like we're supposed to lay hands on everybody and pray. So we're going around, and then they gave opportunity for time after for testimonies, if anything happened, because the Holy Spirit was really there. And people were just like, whoa. And they're, you know, we do that, right? When we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, we fight against it. We're like, whoa, I'm not going down. But then this one guy gets up and he said, yeah, you know, the big funny looking bearded fellow brother was praying for me. And I was just like mostly speaking in tongues because I'm like, well, they can't understand what I'm saying anyway. So I'm praying for them in tongues and a little bit of English. And he said, yes, that brother, he just kept saying my name. In perfect Khmer, he kept saying my name. And I'm like, I don't know your name. I was speaking in tongues. And then I just kind of went back to, boy, doesn't that sound like Acts? When people went out and they were just speaking in tongues and people started hearing them in their native languages. The power of God is real. I'm here to say that. So for me, these are a few examples of places I have built altars. Because that's a brand new altar that I tell that story a lot. You may have already heard that, Bong. But I'm going to keep telling that story because that's an altar moment for me. So build an altar where you've experienced the Lord. So if you want to flip over to Genesis 13, starting just at the first verse there, says, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with them to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had first made there. And then Abram called on the name of the Lord. So my second point is build an altar you can revisit. Abraham went back to the place where God appeared to them. He wanted to meet with him again and call on his name. He said, I know I met God there, so I'm going to go there again. And we can all do that in our own way. Well, I've experienced God when I fill in the blank. So I will seek him there again. I believe there's value in that. Not that it comes in a formulaic or religious way per se, but that it can be sacred. Sacred moments with God. So build an altar you can revisit. That's an altar I can revisit. I think of when Jesus would go out and pray in the wilderness. He was having sacred moments with the Father. Altar moments. It was a place of worship. And it's great to have a place where you know you've met with God, where you've communed with him, where you've heard his voice, felt his presence. You can go back there. Like I was saying, when you can revisit it. Like when with those songs where you can taste and smell and feel those things. That's the same way. That's why I get emotional, because I can go back there and I can be like, I remember exactly what that feels like. And it was interesting this week as well. And this is a bonus. So, location. There's something significant to location that I feel like I need to unpack. For example, for Lisa and I coming back here to a place where I used to be, and I used to play in worship, we came back here, and it's like, is there something really special about this church? Not physically. I mean, look at the carpet. But there's something significant in the spirit in this place. There's old wells here that we can draw from. And we have that in worship. And we recognize that as soon as we're like, oh, we feel that. And that's why we love leading worship here. So we can dig in a little deeper. We can go back to those wells and start to like, hey, living water. So there's something to location. I've been reading a plan where you're reading through the Bible in a year. And I'm in 1 Samuel right now. So this week, I found it so interesting as I was meditating on this. 1 Samuel 3:21, it said, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So he's like, oh, I revealed myself to you here? Well, hey, come back here. Let's do it again. Right? There's something significant about location. I'm going to unpack that myself. To be continued. So build an altar where you experience the Lord. Build an altar where you can revisit. Lastly, build an altar that others can see. And I would put in brackets, power of testimony. Are you familiar with Inukshuks? I think I said that right. Funny story. After we got married in Sarnia, where my in-laws are from, and we drove back, kind of our honeymoon was driving back across Canada to Edmonton, and we got kind of up to northwestern Ontario, where actually my family kind of comes from. And I started looking up on the rocks, this super rocky Canadian Shield, right? I started looking on these rocks, and I see all these little stone things everywhere. And I was like, what the heck's going on? Why are these all these little stone, almost monument-looking things? I'm like, is there some crazy voodoo or witchcraft happening here? What's going on? And then I found out they're Inukshuks. And I was like, hey, I do that. And what, do you know what an Inukshuk does? What the significance of what it's, the purpose of it? It's to point the way, usually to water or to a hunting line. Native Americans use that as a marker to show the way to, like, here's a body of water that you're going to just go that way, and I'm pointing. And then I felt like God kind of said, To me, that's what altars can do for people. Point the way to God. Give direction to, and that's what our altars do. Point towards a way to God. Moving back here, I experienced this in a very profound way. One of my best friends in high school, who we grew up together, we moved back around the same time. And so I was like, yeah, I'm coming back. I'm taking this church position here and doing this stuff. And he's like, Vaughn, I really love that you never lost your faith. That's really cool. You know, I'm an atheist. I'm like, okay. Really, but he was more like, he was totally like into, like, I'm going to talk about Zen and stuff. But he's like, I'm an atheist. I'm like, fair enough. But I still started spending time with him, going for coffee with him, having crazy conversations about conspiracy theories. I'd like put on my tinfoil hat and we'd go down the rabbit hole, talk about 9/11, talk about the Illuminati and all this crazy stuff. And I was just like, I really didn't feel like I had to really like just jam scripture down his throat or just like, I just hung out with him. And then at some point, I'm like, okay, this dude is seriously seeking for truth. And what does the Bible say? Seek and you will find. I get this text a few months after just fairly regularly meeting with him and hanging out with him. He's like, Vaughn, I totally believe Christ is the way. I'm totally going to live my life for him. And I'm like, who dis? And I'm just like, whoa. And I'm like, God, I didn't really say anything to him. Like, he's like, don't minimize the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't minimize that you carry me with you. That you loving on him, you being a friend to him. I was doing the work. I was saying the words without him even knowing it. And he was seeking and he found. And then I began this cool, it morphed into this cool discipleship process where you'd come to me with questions. He's like, I think I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no, you didn't. You're fine. You're good. But it's been amazing and just to see God continue to work in his life. One thing I found is that no one can take away your experience. If I experience, like people like to try to crap on our experience. I'm sorry if crap offends you. But people try to dump on our experiences. And you know what? When it's your experience, people can't take that away from you. You know that you know that you know. So when I felt the Holy Spirit on me there, nobody could take that away from me. I know that I know that I know. And that's why it's important to mark them. When we mark these experiences, we allow others to witness these altars. And it's an organic way to share what God is doing in our lives. And again, like I said, no one can minimize true transformation. We had a couple in Edmonton that we saw a massive, massive transformation. It was so cool to watch from the outside. Where they were like, is that me? I don't know. Is that there was such like just rawness. They came, they had a child out of wedlock. They were living together. They had just like brand spanking new Christians and they didn't know anything from anything. And just to see the Holy Spirit start to work on their situation, because I mean, honestly, as Christians, we're pretty judgy, right? You're like, you're living together. I don't care that you just got saved. I don't care that you have a daughter together. Like, oh my gosh, really? And so it's messy. Life is messy. Christianity is messy when we're real about it. So they were in a big mess. But man, when we saw God just start to transform their lives and saw them just mature and begin to just develop this hunger for him and just see that work, it's amazing. As well, altars can leave a legacy. Abraham built an altar between Bethel and Ai. Jacob had a dream with the ladder at Bethel. Joshua fought a battle in the same place between Bethel and Ai. This means these altars have so much significance when you experience God and call on His name. I'm going to stay over here. The potential of these altars is much bigger than us. So let's mark those. And there's power in testimony. So I want to encourage all of you, share your story. Share your relationship with Jesus. We sang it this morning. There is power in the name of Jesus. And our testimony is Jesus. Our story is powerful. Everybody loves stories. That's why everyone loves hanging out with me. I tell stories. I'm kidding. But one cool thing is I got a testimony told to me actually out of this message. Because I was able to preach the same thing at Living Hope. And the Shamu blessing was great that day. And so later on, it was like over a year later, one of the ladies came to me and was telling me about her son, who was there during this message that I wasn't even sure. And he told his mom that, yeah, I've built an altar outside of Highland. He's like, every day I go to school, because we know how the atmosphere of schools at times, very anti-Christian. And he used to just hesitate at this place before he would go into school and just be, okay, God, I'm yours. I know who I am in you. I'm your son. I mean, and he would go through this stuff, and then he would go into school feeling secure and protected and covered. I was like, that's amazing. I'm like, man, you're in grade 12 and you figured that out? Man, it's taken me like 40 years to figure that out. But I'm like, that's awesome. And that encouraged me. So again, build an altar where you experience the Lord. Build an altar you can revisit. Build an altar that others can see. And there's power in testimony. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Revelation 12:11 says, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's crazy. Power of the blood. Yeah, that's easy to wrap. Power of your testimony, the word of your testimony. There is power in testimony. So I get the worship team to come back up as we close. And just as I built a personal altar at this very altar 23 years ago, I feel like I would be remiss if I did not give opportunity for prayer in this place, where people can encounter God in their own way and have their own opportunity for an altar to be built. So I'm feeling that if there's anybody that is this, it's resonating, you know what? Maybe it resonated the story I told when I felt like I had nothing left. And maybe you feel like, yeah, I kind of feel at the end of my rope as well. Or maybe it's like, you know what? I haven't revisited any altars in a long time, and maybe I need to get back to one. Whatever there is, if there's anything you're sensing, you're feeling, I want to invite you forward. I want to pray for you. I want to pray impartation of the Holy Spirit on you. And I just want the Holy Spirit to do the work that He feels He should be doing this morning. So if that's you, I just want to invite you up while the worship team plays. I want to pray for you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.